it's always good. You know, I never get tired of leading people to the Lord. You know, we're seeing a lot of astounding miracles, you know, both in prosperity and healing, and but that miracle of salvation, there's something about it, it just rejuvenates everything, you know. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles, and then if you're in this place, I'm sure you do, in church on Saturday, you know, the word of the Lord came to me a couple days ago, and he said, you're going to be glad you stayed with it, and you're going to be glad with who you're with. We're moving into some fast-paced times, and you're going to be glad you stayed with it, and you're going to be glad who you're with. That's very important. I'm glad I'm with this man, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad I'm with Grace Ministries. I mean, I know we're not the only ministry on the planet. I understand that. But I'm glad I'm where I'm at. And, you know, when Pastor Jack heard the voice of the Lord for this conference, on the way over here, Pastor Jack, the Lord said, you're going to be having these continuously. And just like Pastor Sherry has at Intercessors Conference, you'll see. And this thing will just grow and abound because the body of Christ needs to see. They know there's a fivefold ministry, but they ain't never really seen fivefold that are family. We're all family in the body of Christ, but you know, you got this one over here, that one over here. We got it all. We're all inclusive. Look at your neighbor and say, Grace Ministry is all inclusive. That's wonderful. Amen. But I'm going to hit this button here. Praise the Lord. And minister to you about the prophet. You know, out of the five gifts, it seems like this is the one that gets the most goofiest. Everybody wants to be a prophet, you know, because they think, you know, you just go around predicting things, prophesying things, and, you know, you live this kind of life of, you know, it's God, you know, and all this. You know, the office of the prophet, I never called myself a prophet for years because I didn't want to step over into something I wasn't. And Pastor Callahan knew I was. And he knew also I was stubborn, so he just let me figure it out in time. Then when I finally went to him, I said, Lord, said I was a prophet. He said, yeah, that's right, Philip. Yeah, we've known that for a while, but you're just now catching up, even though it was operating in my life. And I've learned some things. There's different administrations, different operations in the office of the prophet, in any office. And my gift operates mostly in seasons, understanding the seasons and times in which we're living in. And, you know, when people hear prophet, they want you, you know, to prophesy over them all their good future and everything. You know, you got a word for me? I've had people, you know, you got a word for me? Yeah, I got a word for you. Genesis through Revelation. God, the Bible says prophesy according to your faith. You know, I've heard prophets say, you know, you got to miss it sometimes to let people know you're human. Folks, if you don't know I'm human, I don't want to miss it to show you I'm human. I want to be accurate. The Bible says prophesy according to your faith. And so being raised under Pastor Callahan and this faith ministry, then what's being prophesied should be, you should be able to go to the Word and substantiate it. Not this, you know, stuff way that's contrary to God's Word. And so in Matthew chapter 10 tonight, Matthew chapter 10, as well as 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a lot of people calling themselves prophets in these days. Have you noticed that? Everybody's a prophet. Thank you for your reaction. Matthew chapter 10, 2 Kings 4, are you there? Okay, in Matthew chapter 10, it says in verse 41, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Let me just clarify that. The prophet's reward, you know, that helped me up for many years. You know, just what is the prophet's reward? And then, over time, it was revealed to me the reward of the prophet is what the prophet is carrying at that moment. It's the message that he's carrying that is going to be the reward when somebody understands that's a prophetic word that's being spoken into their season, into their moment. And when you grab that prophetic word, that's the reward. Are you following? Because the prophetic always pushes you off the diving board. It does. See, a lot of people are looking for the prophetic to give them direction. The prophetic ought to challenge you. See, a lot of people don't want to be challenged. They want to challenge themselves. And it's hard to challenge yourself. Have you ever, in your workout program, challenged yourself beyond? Not very often. Not very often. You know, unless you're in a regiment. You know, you need somebody there with you that'll push you. Well, a prophet will push you off the diving board. Amen? So it says here, he that receives a prophet. Now, prophets, you got these prophecy teachers, eschatology teachers. They teach the end times. That doesn't make them a prophet. They're a teacher. And they're teaching end time events that are prophetic in their nature. But that doesn't make them a prophet. Are you with me? Pastor Jack, Pastor Callahan, both are excellent teachers on eschatology, end times. And they both have the prophetic in their life. You're not going to be in this ministry, leading edge ministry, not have the prophetic, period. But as far as the prophet, it's a different ballgame. It's a different it's a different pitch, if you will. And in 2 Kings 4, in verse number 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. So she perceived that this man was a holy man of God, and eventually she recognized that holy man of God was a prophet. So to receive a prophet, you have to perceive a prophet. And if you're not educated in what a prophet is, then anybody that gets up that says they're a prophet, you know, we got prophetic conferences all over this America, you know, you go into the prophetic, and people are just prophesying over each other, you know, they prophesying from the parking lot all the way to the pulpit. You go to the bathroom, somebody's prophesying over you. They prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. And, you know, we got these schools of prophets where they're going to teach you how to prophesy. And, you know, I had this one kid I led to the Lord years ago and was going to Pastor Callahan's church, you know, and he got goofy, you know, goofy. And he going to be a prophet. And all of a sudden he left Pastor Callahan's church. You know, we didn't see him for years. And then he shows back up one day, and then he shows up at my place over there in Frankfort. And he's got this tape with him. I said, I want you to listen to this tape. I said, what is this tape? He says, me prophesying. okay, what am I listening for? What is it a word for me? I just want you to hear how I prophesy now. I said, how did you learn to do all this? And he said, I've been going to the school of prophets. I said, really? Yeah, they teach us how to prophesy. You practice in the mirror. I said, okay, wonderful. Now, I just keep my face in this mirror. And when something starts bubbling up, something starts bubbling up. So I called Pastor Callahan up. I said, Goofy's here. And, you know, I realized I led him to the Lord years ago, and he's really goofy now. And with your permission, me and Alberta would like to help him. And he said, go for it. So I told this goofy kid, I said, look here, Goofy. Me and Alberta will put you in an apartment. We'll pay for it. We'll get you a job. We'll get you furniture in your apartment. And if you a prophet, then sit under this prophetic anointing. And if you a prophet, it's going to rise up out of you. And if you're not, it's going to show up. And whatever it is, we're going to live with that. Well, I got to pray about that. Haven't seen him since. Until about 3 or 4 months ago, he got a hold of me. His prophesying hadn't done him too good. Now he wants me to send him some money to help him out of the dilemma that he prophesied himself into. Ain't happening. Come on, somebody. So you don't make yourself a prophet, just like you don't make yourself a pastor. You don't make yourself a teacher. You don't make yourself nothing. You discover your destiny, and in your destiny, the Bible says the gifts and calling. Gifts, plural, calling, singular, is without change. And so whatever God's called you to do, you don't want to be up here trying to prophesy, and you ain't got, the Bible says, he that boasts himself of a false gift is like clouds without water. You ever seen it out there, and you know, you're needing it to rain, you know, and it's clouding up, you're like, woo, and it just passes on, nothing. You don't get anything out of it. Can't produce nothing. And I'm not into all that. You know, I'm not into performance. You know, I've left that realm of trying to achieve and trying to be something in front of somebody. You know, because a lot of times people's expectation on the prophetic, you can feel them. You know, they'll come up in the line, and you know, you lay hands on them, and they're just, and you know that they're sitting there wanting, because you prophesied over somebody else, they're like, you know, waiting for, trying to get something. Come on now. Now, hey, you know, I like a word when it's from God. You know, who doesn't? You know, if I was to stop and say, hey, you, and call you out and start prophesying, if it wasn't you, you'd be thinking, praise God. Call me out. I remember we were in a service, and there was a prophet in this church, and he looked back through there, and he called my wife out. Prophesied, I mean, just boom, 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 perfect. I mean, I knew that didn't nobody in that church, we were visiting the church, didn't know that, and just hit her right where she was at. And then the guy that we were there with, on the other side of me, called him out. I'm in the middle. I'm sitting there, whoo, come on. And so he can call me out. I said, Lord, you prophesied over my wife, you prophesied over our friend here. How come you didn't call me out? He said, Philip, you're hearing my voice right now. What is it you want to know? Come on. But there's something intriguing about the prophetic, you know, that. And so right here, you can't receive from a prophet unless you perceive that that is truly a prophet. And you cannot perceive unless you understand the guidelines to the prophetic. Because otherwise, anybody can just come up and say, you know, we were in a church. We were in a church. We didn't know any better. Bless God. We just gotten saved. We weren't with Pastor Callahan yet, you know, and we were just trying to find something. And so, you know, I was still in this place where you don't go to another city to church. You go to the church that's right there in town. Well, that was Wilmore. Hallelujah. And there was one little church across the tracks there that had just opened up, and it was a Pentecostal church. I told the wife, well, come on, let's go down there. Went in there, and it was the most out of order, crazy mess ever seen in my life. Here I am, born again about, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and they want me to get up there and preach. Right when I just walk in. And then, I got up there and just shared my testimony, and of course the Holy Ghost fell when I shared my testimony, because, it was a powerful, drug addict, alcoholic set free, all that. But I had no business being behind there. And then the guy in charge, he was this old Pentecostal dude, comes out with his bottle of oil, and all of a sudden we prophesying over everybody. Then the prophetic sisters kick in. They were two quiet gals over to the side, they just looking at everybody, and then all of a sudden, they get their little prophecy thing going on. And there's this one fella there, and you could tell he didn't have nothing. He didn't have nothing. And they were prophesying that he didn't have nothing. I'm thinking, okay. Behold, the Lord says, you come in this place having nothing. Okay. But God's going to do great things in your life. This guy, and you can tell by the atmosphere, ain't nothing happening here. And so, they just prophesy, and you can see this young man, he was wanting to believe that. And so he after the meeting, he would talk to me, he said, well, did you hear what they said about me? I'm thinking to myself, they said it. It wasn't God saying it. And prophecy, you got to be real careful with it, because people's respect for you, not just with prophecy, but teaching the Word of God, pastor and everything, you got to do it in integrity. And I remember when we were going to the Marshall Islands, we were in a time of praise and worship. The Lord said, you see that couple over there? I said, yeah. They'll be over in the Marshall Islands 90 days after you're there. Now, I hadn't talked to them about going to Marshall Islands, nothing. And so I went up to Pastor Callahan. I said, Pastor, the word of the Lord came to me. He said, what was it, Philip? I said, you see that couple over there? He said, yeah. I said, the Lord says in 90 days, they're going to be over in the Marshall Islands after we're there. And, Pastor is very calm. And he just said, Philip, if that's God, then it'll come to pass. I said, okay. So me and Alberta, we went over to the Marshall Islands, and we're over there. And then after we've been there about 2 or 3 weeks, they needed another couple for teaching. And so I called back, and I told Pastor about it. And Pastor approached that couple, and they said, yes, we'd like to go to the Marshall Islands. And so they started getting everything in line to come to the Marshall Islands. And by the time they could get everything lined out and get their airplane ticket, it was 88 days. So Pastor Callahan calls me up, and he says, Philip, he said, they're on their way. I said, great. And he said, the day they get there will be 88 days. I said, Pastor, the Lord said 90. He said, Philip, that's close. Just leave it alone. They got to Honolulu. Airplane was delayed for 2 days. And so when they got there on the 90th day. Now, come on, somebody. That's when you're hearing God in these things. But those kinds of things are few and far between. My gift operates more in seasons. Tomorrow morning in my church, I'm teaching on the season of which we're in on Babylon. And it's gonna be over the top of the moment in which we're in. You know, CNN will be telling you this, Fox News will be telling you this, Rush Limbaugh will be telling you that, you know, Glenn Beck will be telling you that, all this kind of stuff you can listen to out there. But somebody's hearing from heaven on the season in which we're in. And you can't govern your spiritual walk based on what they're saying. And we have to have news reports, if you will, from what heaven is saying. And I tell you what, you're going to be glad you stayed with it, and you're going to be glad with who you're with. We're going into some glorious days in front of us. Amen? Prophets really don't speak to you. They speak into you. That's another thing for the prophetic you need to understand. A lot of times when you hear a prophet, it can mess with your head, but your heart says, that's right. Because they're not really speaking to you. They really don't care what you think. Really. They really don't care what you think. They're speaking straight into you, right past you. They don't think, how are you going to... They're not thinking, how are you going to receive this? They're not thinking, how's this going to make you feel? They got an assignment. They're going to say it. And they're going to say it the best way they know how to say it. And then they're going to just leave you with that. They're not going to sit there and comfort your little soul over and you know, interpret everything. Well, what does that really mean? And all that. Because they're speaking into you, not to you. Right? And if you don't know that, it can mess with your head because who's he think he is? He just come in here and just said all this and said all that. Or she just said this and said that or whatever. And they didn't care nothing about the way we felt. They didn't care nothing about we ain't got time for all this up here. Going deep, calling unto deep. The prophetic has. Look, this woman was a great woman. She had greatness inside of her. It takes the prophetic to prophesy and pull that greatness out of you. I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, I guarantee you, Pastor Kelly, over 50 years of ministry, you've had some prophet in 50 years say something that was key to you, even though you had a relationship with God, but something that was key that pulled something that God had put in out of you, right? But we don't go looking for that. We don't go, you know, we're not led by prophets. Too many people are, you know, they run over here for this conference, run over to this conference, you know, what's this one saying? What's that? We're not to be led by prophets. And again, I'm to prophesy according to my faith. That lets me know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, that I need to have my head in the book so what's coming out of my mouth when I'm prophesying lines up with the book. Prophesy according to your faith. We think if you got little faith, you prophesy little. But I'm prophesying according to my faith, according to the word of God. I want to prophesy in line with the word. Are you following that? And so, prophets speak into you, not to you. And they speak to your destiny, your gifts and callings. That's what God's after. Is to spark. Yeah, your rent's due, you got pain in your body or whatever. But God knows the power of getting you into your destiny in line with your calling, that rent gets taken care of. Not only you get taken care of, you end up owning a building. Pain is out of your body. Not only is it out of your body, now you laying hands on folk. The destiny and the gifts and callings that are in this room right here are massive for this end time revival. If you're not a listener just to hear, you know, some good teaching, you're a doer of what you're hearing. You're going to implement what's being instructed in this place to go out and change your circle of influence. So God uses the prophetic to go right past your emotions, right into your spirit, to touch your destiny, your gifts, and your callings. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, prophets speak to your desires, your needs, and your wants. God knows what you need, and He knows what you want. And and when the prophetic is flowing, things will start coming out of a prophet's mouth. And it happens with the pastor too, and the teacher, anyone that's operating under anointing. But when that prophetic is flowing in that dimension, there's all kinds of releases that happen in that atmosphere that all of a sudden, boom, there it was. You know, and then when that, you know, we were preaching a conference there in Grace, Maine. Oh, it's been 6-7 years ago. And one of these guys walked in, skeptic. And, you know, I'm up there preaching, you know, got my white suit on, long hair, you know, and see, here it is, you know, being checked out. And the Lord says, "You see that man over there?" I said, "Yeah, I see him, Lord. I'm preaching." He says, "Stop what you're preaching, point your finger at him and say this." I said, "Lord, I'm preaching." He said, "I know you're preaching. Stop what you're preaching, point your finger at him, and say this. What you're hearing is truth. And then go back to your preaching." What I didn't know is he's sitting back over there saying, "All right, God, if he's a man of God, get him to stop preaching and point at me and say." Now see, God's powerful. It's one thing if I'd just been preaching and said, "What you're hearing is truth." You know, just under the anointing. But when you look at somebody, you stop right at the moment when they have said that. Now somebody in here saying, "Now God, if you really want me to do that, have them stop right now." See how we are? Glory to God. But God knows what you need and what you want, and He knows the enemy, how he tries to come in to discourage and bring fear in and tell you that that's not going to happen. And God, a lot of times, uses it prophetic to speak to those needs and wants, and then a prophet will always challenge you. He'll always challenge you. You know, people think that, you know, I'm just after money. You know, when I teach a prophetic word, I know that if I do not challenge the people financially, because where your treasure is, there's where your heart is also. If I don't challenge them, and boy, I'll tell you what, that was a battle. That was a battle for me years ago when, because my head and the devil was pounding my head. See, you're just after money. You're using your preaching gift and your skills that God gave you just to get money from people. And so I didn't do it. And the Lord, I tell you what, it's one thing to have the devil beat you up. It's another thing to have God beat you up. I didn't do it. I went back in my office. I sat down there. And the Lord said, "What'd you do?" I said, "What do you mean? I preached what you told me to preach." He said, "Yeah, but you didn't challenge people." I said, "Lord, it was only a week ago that I challenged the people on something else." You know what he said to that? Nothing. Next morning I went to pray. And he said, "Are you going to keep robbing your people?" Oh, brother. Now, the devil was telling me I was robbing my people. see, by not giving them, by challenging them, right? And then God in prayer, are you going to keep robbing your people? Because I know how it works in me and Alberta's life. When I hear a prophetic word, when I hear that word that challenges me, man, I ain't letting that thing pass me up. I'm sealing that thing. Like Abraham, when he got that word from heaven, he said, how will I know that this word which you said is truth? Here's how you know. Go get a heifer. Not just any old heifer. That three-year-old heifer. The one that's in her prime. The best heifer you got. Bring it as an offering. Offerings seal that revelation word that's been released. If you're going on with God, now you could give an offering on a prophetic word and just not go on with God, and then you know join the disgruntled out there that say you know they're just after your money. But it's a powerful truth. You look at the prophets. You go from Genesis all the way through the Bible, and whenever God was prospering His people, He used prophets. Believe in the Lord your God, 2 Chronicles 20:20. So shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. And if you look at the rebuilding of the walls and in Jerusalem and all that, it says the people prospered through the prophesying of the prophets. So prophecy is necessary for building and increase, because people will get on this dimension of living, on a level of living, and just occupy and stay there. And the prophet comes along and says, no, we got to go further than that, and starts prophesying things that you know down in your heart, but you they were so wild you didn't say nothing. You might have told your wife, might have told your husband, might have told your best friend. You might have wrote it down in your journal. But then the prophet comes along and just starts speaking out. It's like, my goodness, there it is. There it is. God told me that. You know, this whole church is here because the word of the Lord came to me years ago to start a Bible study here in Georgetown. Pastor Jack was my associate. Now, God had showed him in a vision that picture over there, right? But God used the prophetic to get out over there in it. And then when I'd been doing it about a year, the Lord says, have Pastor Jack teach over there. And he started teaching, and one thing led to another, and here we are. That doesn't mean it has to be a prophet to start a church somewhere. Pastor Callahan told me to go to Frankfort. I want to start a church in Frankfort. Go. Sent me and Lee up there. We didn't know what we were doing. We just went up there. Pastor said, go up there. Hallelujah. How much gas you got in your car? Boy, those were the days. So prophets pull greatness out of you. Now, go with me to 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. There's an important part of the prophetic that we need to understand. In verse 18, this charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. So again, prophecy and faith ought to be hand in hand. You know, there's some prophetic camps, they call themselves prophetic camps. And they're big into dreams, trances, and visions. I've had all three. But I'm not seeking them. They just happen. I'm seeking God in His Word. Now listen, I'm not preaching against the prophetic camps. But you got to be careful that somebody that's flying a banner saying they're prophetic, right here, it says that we might war a good warfare. Well, we know what our warfare is. Fight the good fight of faith. And so the prophetic should never leave faith. It should enhance faith and require faith. Right? And so it says here that these prophecies and a lot of those prophetic camps, they know nothing about faith. They know absolutely nothing about faith. They'll have the banners down or the dancers will be dancing. They'll get into this big thing of worship and all this. And then they'll start prophesying this, prophesying that, prophesying this, prophesying that. Love, God loves this and God loves that and grace this and grace that and all this stuff. Where's the faith? Bible says prophesy according to your faith. And right here it says these prophecies went before you that you might war a good warfare. We know our warfare is a war on faith. So the word that's being prophesied should ignite your faith and increase your faith and be in line with the Word of God. That's so important. Because people are vulnerable. That's why, you know, you got this one prophesying, you're going to marry this one, going to prophesy, you're going to, you know, this one going to prophesy this, all this craziness. We were in Pastor Callahan's church years ago, and this, oh man, three girls. The singles came to me in Alberta because we were married. And three girls came to us and wanted us to agree with them because God had showed them the same guy they're going to marry. Now, either they're going to have a polygamy. Ain't that what it's called? Marriage or two and probably three ain't heard from heaven. Come to find out. And you know, and now they're fasting 40 days. Man, we go to church. This one girl I'm thinking about right now, she looked pathetic. Thin as a rail, fasting for her husband to be. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, and they're not hearing anything Pastor Callahan's preaching. Because he'd get up in the pulpit and out of his mouth I'd hear their answer for their stupidity, their goofiness. And they never adjusted their life. Have you ever done that? Heard something for somebody else, and I just well, the guy ended up marrying none of them. And guess what? They left the church because they were so embarrassed or so mad that he couldn't hear God correctly or whatever the situation. And, you know, these singles, they'd be doing some prophesying in the back of the church. After church. Be careful about after church prophecy. After hours. Come on. Be careful of that. And be careful on trying to pull a prophetic word. You know, Pastor Callahan's my dad in the Lord, as well as his dad over all of the speakers today. But I needed somebody to teach me the prophetic. I'd reached this place where I wasn't sure. And that's when Dr. Harfouch came into my life, and God blessed me to have some special time with him to where he could, I didn't say, hey, how's the prophetic operate? I just listened. And in listening, I got some direction that set me on course for the place I'm at right now. Mama Jean has said things to me, you know, and I wasn't saying, hey, Mom, how do you operate in the prophetic? It's just inside wanting to know that. And God, listen, folks, God knows where each and every one of us are. And He knows how to get that information to us, whether it's wrapped up prophetically or wrapped up in a teaching nugget and whatever. You know, I was just telling the couple that was at our house, you're going to have to find a pastor now. You know, they're like, we want this all the time. Well, you're going to have a pastor. I mean, you got to be pastored to be able to move forward. You're not going to live off the prophetic. God never intended anybody just to live off the prophetic. Well, I got my word. I've had people show me their prophetic words. All these words. Don't know what the book says. But they got all these prophetic words. Well, so-and-so prophesied this over me. You know, that's one thing I appreciate about Kenneth Hagin. Was he never let prophecy go beyond the Word of God. Same thing with Kenneth Copeland. He never lets prophecy go beyond the Word of God. It's all, you can go to their prophecies and you can go to the Word and it lines up. But the prophecy will challenge you and I to grab that moment of what's being said instead of just where we're at right now in the natural. Are you following? You know, the Lord gave me a prophetic word at the beginning of this year that everything out of order coming into order. Well, I'll tell you what, that thing's alive in me. I don't know how many, you can't find that specifically in the Bible, but you can find where the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. You can see where God's a God of order. So that what God had given me lines up with His word, but when it was released, when it was said, it branded those that had ears to hear, and we've been working that thing all year long, and we'll continue to work it until Jesus comes. Everything out of order coming into order. I like that. You know, when the prophetic word comes forth, the activation of it is left up to the individual. Whether you're going to activate it. And right here it says, the prophecies went before you. They're out in front of you. You right here. The prophetic word came. Now it goes out in front of you. It'll clear the path if you'll let it. But it's going to take faith. It's out there in front of you just saying, all right, the word comes. You know that, you know, I remember when I was sharing this last night when the Lord told, we were behind on our electricity out at the farm, and the Lord told me to run electricity from the house all the way up to the barn, and then from the barn all the way out to the pump or to the well, and we're behind on our electricity. We're behind on our electricity. Ain't got no money. Behind on our electricity bill. And God says to run electricity out to the barn and all the way out to the well. Now, that don't make sense. And so I went to church and Pastor Callahan's preaching on God's word in due season might not agree with your noggin. So I just had God tell me that. And I go to church and I hear that. And so I'm putting this all together. Okay. All right. Here we go. So it's out in front of me. And so I call an electrician up to come over and give me a bid on running electricity to the barn. And at that time, back in the day, now we're behind on our electricity bill. He gave us an estimate, $300. We'll have it all run for you, $300. I said, I'll call you soon. Me and Alberta believe in God. And we stuck with that word. We stuck with that word. Now, see, prophecy isn't so-and-so said it. No. The prophecy is God said it. And the prophetic utterance challenged me and got me moving. Are you following this? And so we launched out in it. And, you know, I'm to make a long story short, because I'm running out of time here. I ain't used to an hour. Alberta, we were up at the barn, and Alberta went to check the mail at the mailbox, and I'd just come out of the barn with a couple friends of mine, and she was running across the front yard hollering like this right here, and I said, honey, what is it? She said, see if I'm reading this right. And I looked at it. Our electricity bill was paid in full, and there was $300 in credit. David said, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. That's why when you're sitting there praying, you're praying over a situation, and God said, I thought you believed you received that. Well, then what are you doing talking about it? Let's talk about this. I don't want to talk about that. Let's get this paper. No, let's talk about this. That's how God is. God speaks in destiny form. He's always constantly moving, and the prophetic is always moving. It's always getting you beyond where you are. And these prophecies, they go before you that you and I can buy them. War, good warfare. They're out there in front of us. You know, God said this, God said that. And I'm not talking about, you know, just, again, any old buddy saying something. But so, when somebody prophesies something to you, it shouldn't be, huh? Never thought about that. That's interesting. Now there may be some points in it you never thought about, but there ought to be a bearing witness down inside, even if it stretches you to your maximum. Of, okay, God, here we go. I'm in. I'm all in. Right? So, prophecies help us fight the good fight of faith. All right, let's go on into this part in Matthew 13. I mentioned it a while ago. Matthew 13. And you'll understand the prophetic more when they challenge you more. Not, oh, here we go again. You'll be ready for it. Matthew 13 and in verse 54. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, his brethren James and Joses and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? They had a problem with the one speaking to him having things, especially because they knew his family. And they were offended to him. But Jesus said unto them, now watch this, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Why did not Jesus do any mighty works there? Because of their unbelief. How did they arrive at unbelief? they wanted to know where this man had this power and where he got these things. And Jesus makes a powerful statement right here. He says, a prophet is not without honor except in the place of familiarity. Familiarity will just quench the prophetic. Alberta, we've been together 27 years, 25 with Jesus. And she's always pulling on prophetic. Always. What's God saying? She's always. You better go hear from heaven on this right here. She's either pulling or pushing. She understands it. She lives with it. She understands it. She knows when it's husband Philip. She knows when it's Pastor Philip. She knows the prophetic. And Jesus said right here, a prophet is not without honor. Now that word without honor, in the Greek, it's where we get honorarium, offering. Jesus is telling them, boys, ain't going to be no offering here. Because ain't going to be no offering here, ain't much going to happen here. And he could do no mighty works there because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Isn't that something? The connection between our offerings and God, our offerings and the Word. Wow. Big time. And so right here, it says, a prophet is not without an offering, except where familiarity is. And people where familiarity is, then they start, well, we know him. We know his family. But we don't know where he's getting this stuff at. Where is he getting these? And they reason away. So when Jesus started talking, when Jesus started preaching, Jesus started teaching, there was no reciprocation. See, you know, there's this thing in mainline denominationalism that this is a free gospel. Free gospel. Man, I don't know where to get that. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Know ye not that your temple, your body is a temple of the living God? You're not your own. Ain't nothing free about this. Now, we accept freely Jesus' sacrifice. But now, hopefully, Jesus is not just your Savior. Hopefully, Jesus has become your Lord. See, when Jesus is your Savior, he's your sacrifice. When Jesus is your Lord, you're the sacrifice. Big difference. Big difference. Now you lay down your life to his Lordship. Come on, somebody. And so when the prophetic is moving, you better get ready for money to come out of your possession into that prophetic word. I said money. See, some of you still think that word ought not be spoken in the sanctuary. You after all my money. You probably ain't got none. And I know how to get you some. Come on, somebody. And so, the prophetic, a lot of times, is, you know, they want somebody to come in, prophesy over everybody in the church, and, you know, well, wasn't that a great service? I got my word. What'd he tell you? Well, he told me, you know, the next 2 years, you know, he told me that car, he told me that on and on and on and on. What's God saying? I'm real careful with personal prophecy. As far as, you know, this thing with, you know, God says this, God, you know, just a handful of times it's happening. Pastor Ed, we were in a service. He wasn't married. I don't like this kind of stuff. I told him right then I didn't like it. And I'm walking by him. And the word of the Lord came to me. He said, you tell him he's going to marry a woman just like Alberta. She'll be a word woman. She'll be this. Okay. Let's evaluate this. Alberta, beautician. Debbie, beautician. Alberta's older than me. Debbie's older than Ed. Alberta teaches the word. Debbie teaches the word. On and on and on and on and on and on and on. It's precise. That's rare. I like the seasons. I like preaching on Babylon, like in the morning. Telling people what's coming down the pike. Where we at? Amen? Okay. So, there has to be prophetic activation for what's being prophesied to go in motion. Does that make sense? Should. And then, in 1 Timothy 4, First Timothy 4. And look at verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. Okay, here we go. I've seen some craziness here.
I feel the Lord coming over on me, brother. I give you the gift to discern all that.
What it's talking about is when the prophetic is moving. There are times in my church when I tell the people, come up here, this thing's on me. I have no idea why I'm about to lay hands on folk. Have no idea. I just know it's on me. And when I start laying hands on them, things are being released. Things are being released out of their lives, and things are being released into their lives. The anointing's powerful, folks. And, you know, back in my early days, I'd have to have what we called an altar call. You had to go for salvation first, and then does anybody need healing? And then, you know, around anybody need filled with holy? You have to go down your little checklist. But when the prophetic, and nothing wrong with that, by the way, but when the prophetic's moving, a lot of times you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. And as I move out in that, then the understanding comes. And as the understanding comes, then boom. I'll stop and I'll say, you know what's going on here? This is what's going on. And a lot of times God will have me in a holding pattern and I'll just be sitting there, let's just praise the Lord for a while. Let's just get the instruments going. I like music. Don't have to have it, but I like it. And when the music's going, you know, like who was Elijah or Elijah, one of them said, bring me a minstrel. And as that music started playing, it allowed him to move over into that prophetic, and I like music, but a lot of times the prophetic, I step into it by faith. I know it's in my life, so I'll give God a space to work, and if it's not working, I remember me and Dad was at a meeting up there at Frankfurt one time, and boy, I'll tell you what, it was popping, both. Both he and I were laying hands on folks that night, and the power of God was hitting, and people were getting healed. I'm prophesying, and we're just, I don't know how long we went like that. And then finally, I looked at Pastor, and I said, Pastor, I'm seeing for miles. He said, yeah, I know, me too. I said, I don't know what to do. He said, then don't do nothing. That word right there is how I've operated ever since then. Because when you're seeing for miles and people are pulling, you have a tendency to try to make something happen. No. If I ain't got no direction, oh yeah, we'll praise the Lord here in another few minutes. Just see if something comes. But if nothing don't come, you know, we were in the Marshall Islands on the island quadrant. I'd preached 26 times in 21 days, and this was the last meeting. The power of God hit the place, and people were getting delivered while I was preaching, and I was wore out, just plumb tuckered out. I didn't know about I'm strong, none of that back in the days. I'd went as Alberta went out and got me a bunch of vitamins right before I was going to preach, and I ate that whole handful of vitamins, and boy, on my stomach, I thought I was going to throw up. Now I'm battling that while I'm up there behind the pulpit and all this stuff. Early days. And when we were done, when I was done, people had gotten saved, you know, all this good stuff. That's where Kirk got saved and delivered from cigarettes in that meeting that night. I told the people, I said, enjoy each other under the anointing. The anointing is swirling. And the guy that had hosted the meeting came up to me and said, you can't shut this meeting down. The anointing's moving all over the place. I said, well, let the people enjoy it. Let them fellowship underneath it. He said, can you do that? Yeah. See, in his mind, if the anointing was there, you know, something had to happen. You know, we had to be doing something. I said, enjoy it. Let's just let the people. They stayed in that church just talking and laughing for like an hour afterwards, you know. And people were just walking home with anointing all over them. Are you following getting that? So we have to know in what direction to go in with the prophetic. And thank you, Lord. So, Pastor Jack, pray about keeping this thing rolling. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That was rich, wasn't it?